Writer Andrew Solomon is among the millions who suffer from depression. He's written what has been called the definitive book on the disease, The Noonday Demon, which includes a riveting account of his own struggle with mental illness. Solomon told Steve Paulson why depression seems to be on the rise.
I think we live in a more stressful society than we used to. I think that people are sleeping less, and I think we have a chronically underslept society, and that increases rates of depression. I think we live in a society in which not only religious belief, but also the belief in science that for some time took the place of religious belief has been enormously undermined and that people are lacking a sense of purpose. I think we live in a more crowded world. And I think most of all that we live in a world in which people are increasingly alone. I think the advent of television has caused people to spend more and more time alone. I think more and more of the time we deal with computers and we deal with inhuman circumstances. And that isolation tends to generate a great deal of depression.
Let's talk about stress for a moment, which you have identified as a key factor in depression. What's the biochemical cause here? Why does stress often lead to depression?
Well, when you have high levels of stress, cortisol, which is an essential chemical in the brain, tends to go up. And when you're exposed to a short-term stress, any animal in the wild exposed to a short-term stress has a peak in cortisol, and that peak in cortisol can be very useful for dealing with emergency situations. What I think we as natural creatures are not really well designed for is extended stress, is long-term stress. So we're designed to respond quickly if we're being hunted by an animal and we have to immediately respond to the fact that the predator is after us. We're not designed really to cope with difficult long-term marriages that we're trying to stay in or with employers who we don't get along with very well but have to deal with on an ongoing basis. And if you have a high level of stress on a continuing long-term basis, you break down the stress mechanisms in your brain. You then have got increased levels of the stress hormone in your brain. And once you've got those extended permanent increased levels of stress hormone, you never get the stress system back under control properly. And you will always have a messed up emotional system in your brain that will cause you permanent states of depression or permanent disruption of the depression systems in your brain.
In your book, The Noonday Demon, you are very upfront about your own history of depression, and you say that you've had three major breakdowns. Can you tell me about the first one? What brought it on?
Yes. I think I had sort of a medium level of vulnerability, and I had a number of external stressors that really spun out of control. The most immediate one was my mother's death at the end of a long struggle with cancer. But I had also been living with someone for a long time, and our relationship fell apart. And because of those things, I moved from England, where I had been living, back to the United States. And so my social existence was fragmented, and I had an extremely bad round of kidney stones and was in very acute physical pain, and a number of other things happened that were very traumatic. Went through all of these things, and then as I was coping with them, I began to feel a kind of emotional nullity, which was extremely odd. I just didn't seem to feel much emotion about anything. And then bit by bit, I began finding things just inexplicably a little bit burdensome. I would get home and listen to the messages on my answering machine, and I would think, gosh, what a lot of people. I guess I should call them all back. And it would all just seem sort of rather effortful and rather weighty. But I thought, well, I'll just get on with things. I don't know why I'm feeling like this, but there it is. And then as time went on, I began to feel a sort of mild sense of fearfulness all the time. And I didn't know quite where it came from. And then I got to the point at which everything began to seem like an overwhelming effort. And I would sort of walk into the bathroom and think I have to put the toothpaste onto my toothbrush and brush all of my teeth. And I would think, God, what an effort. And I knew that it was a ridiculous thing to be feeling that way. In the back of my mind, I thought, for heaven's sakes, I brush my teeth all the time. And then it began to escalate, and it got to the point where instead of my finding these things difficult, I began to find them impossible. And I would sort of go in and I would look at my toothbrush and my toothpaste, and I would think, I just can't do it today. And eventually I reached the point at which I was finding all of life just intolerably, inexplicably, overwhelmingly difficult and terribly frightening. And finally one day I woke up and I just realized I couldn't get up out of bed. I've in good spirits, I've gone skydiving, and it's much easier for me to jump out of an airplane several thousand feet up in the air than it was at that point for me to sort of put my feet on the floor and get up out of bed. And I thought I'd had a stroke or something. I couldn't imagine what had happened. And I just had this terrible feeling of panic, and I thought something's gone wrong. I should call someone. But I lay there looking at the telephone and thinking I have to reach out for the phone and dial the numbers, and I just couldn't do it.
And it's worth pointing out that on the surface, a lot of things were going pretty well in your life. You had just had a novel that had come out to good reviews. You are financially secure. You have a number of close friends. But those things didn't pull you through.
No, and I knew that those things were there. And I kept thinking to myself, that was part of what made it all so bizarre. I kept thinking, I know that I really have a nice life and that I should be enjoying my life and that this doesn't parse. But nonetheless, that was what I was experiencing. I mean, I wasn't even at the level of having emotions about what kind of reviews my novel was getting. I was at the level of thinking, I have to put on both socks. What am I going to do about putting on my socks?
So what did you do then? Obviously, you didn't just lay in bed without talking to anyone for weeks on end. You must have talked to someone.
Well, eventually, when it had got really, really out of control and I was lying in bed that day, fortunately, the telephone rang and it was my father. And he said to me, "Hi, Andrew, how are you?" And I said, "Something has gone terribly wrong. You have to come and get me." And he said, "Why? What is it? What's happened?" And I said, "I really don't know, but I'm really, really unwell." And I knew that I had been feeling emotionally sort of bad and off for a while. I said, I think something's gone off, and I think I'd better go see a psychopharmacologist. And he came down and collected me, and we went to see a psychopharmacologist. And I then moved into his apartment, and it was really as though I were a kind of helpless, not even a five-year-old, as though I were an infant and had to be kind of taken care of. And I went on to antidepressant medication. And within a few weeks, I was able to do some of the basic functioning. But it took really at least 6 months before I was able to do ordinary functional things in an ordinary functional way again.
Have you ever come close to suicide in any of your bouts of depression?
Yes. The funny thing about suicide is that when you're really at the very bottommost pitch of depression and you can't manage to tie your own shoes, it's very difficult to contemplate anything as active and as vigorous as suicide. And I had the experience, which many other people I've talked to have had, of becoming suicidal in the course of recovery. It was when I was beginning to get a little bit better that I suddenly thought, what on earth has happened to me? And I thought, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be someone who goes through all of this. I was not acutely suicidal in the way that many of the people I interviewed for The Noonday Demon were, but I did have a period of great self-destructiveness when I felt I didn't really want to go on living, and I engaged in a lot of foolish and risk-taking activities. The one that I've written about in the book is that I sought out a lot of unsafe sexual encounters, and I had the idea somehow that if I were infected with HIV, that would give me an excuse for killing myself, which was something that I decided I wanted to do. It was a phase that didn't last very long, and it passed, and I, in the end, hadn't contracted HIV, and I never made an actual suicide attempt of any kind or of any meaning.
One of the points that comes through your book is the absolute importance of getting help, whether it's through drugs or talk therapy or both. Because if you don't do anything about serious depression, it's just going to get worse.
Well, I certainly very much believe in getting both kinds of help if one possibly can. The stories that were actually most stirring and in a way most distressing to me as I talked to so many people who were depressed were not even the stories of people who had not got any kind of help. It's people who don't look for enough help or who don't manage to find good help. I think there are an enormous number of kinds of help that are available. I think there are an enormous number of kinds of treatment. And I met so many people who said to me, well, I tried antidepressants and I took this drug for a while and it didn't really help me. And so I just decided the drugs weren't going to help. And I said, well, You know, half of people who try antidepressants don't have results on their first antidepressant, but two-thirds of those people will have results from their second or third antidepressant that they try.
And there is this assumption that if you just take a drug like Prozac, if it gives you enough serotonin, then you're going to get better. That is the magic bullet, but obviously that's not the case.
No, I mean, Prozac is a wonderful drug, and for some people it works miraculously well. But it's important, if it doesn't work miraculously well for you, to keep trying other drugs and trying other lines of treatment. And I think almost all depression, there are a few cases that aren't, but almost all depression is treatable. And almost everyone who has depression can get through it and can recover from it. And I think the great thing is to have the patience and the forbearance to keep trying and to keep battling against it.
How many medications do you take right now?
I currently take five.
Yes.
I take one, which is my primary antidepressant, which is Effexor. And then the others are really primarily to offset side effects. Effexor has the famous negative effects on libido. I take Wellbutrin, which offsets the libido effects. I take Zyprexa, which I take because it lowers anxiety, which I tend to have as a side effect of depression. I take Topamax because the Zyprexa causes weight gain, and a low dose of Topamax, which is really a mood stabilizer, but it prevents the weight gain associated with Zyprexa. And then I take Buspar because I was started on it many years ago, and I don't really think it's doing anything, but it doesn't have any side effects, and I've been taking it for a long time, and I don't really want to monkey around with anything because at the moment I'm feeling right as rain and I don't seem to have side effects from anything I'm taking. So I've just left it all sort of there as a balance.
You are describing a terrible disease. I mean, the bad cases of depression are truly awful. But you also write that you have learned from this illness that in some ways it's made your life richer. Can you explain how?
Yes, I feel like that's one of, so far as I'm concerned, the essential messages of The Noonday Demon, and it's one that I didn't anticipate when I set out to write the book. I think depression is a terrible, horrible, bleak, barren experience, and certainly, if you can possibly avoid it in any way, avoid it. But if you've had to go through a depression, there are many rich things to take out of it. I think people who have been through depression are frequently more compassionate than other people simply because they know the extent of pain that is possible. I think people who have been through depression have got a sense of the joyfulness of everyday life because they have such a sense of how wrong things can be. And so simply the fact that they wake up and that they feel like getting out of bed and eating breakfast and getting on with their day suddenly feels revelatory and exciting and splendid. I think people who have had depression are more kind frequently to other people than they would have been. And I think that it can intensify the way in which they love other people. And so I think one takes away a great deal from it. One comes out older but wiser.
Steve Paulson talked with writer Andrew Solomon about his book, The Noonday Demon, An Atlas of Depression.